From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and around the world. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, Jen, listening in Sylvan Lake, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a friend who is going to seminary, and she also is attending a church in Vancouver, who wants to send her to a course in Florida on healing ministries by a man named Francis McNutt. And she was asking for my opinion, and I don't know anything about him. And I tried to research, but I couldn't find anything out. So I was just going to find out if you know anything about his theology and his healing ministry, and if you just have insight on that.
Well, I do. I wrote about him in a book titled Counterfeit Revival. Father Francis McNutt is a Catholic priest who traces his initiation in the slain in the spirit phenomenon to the faith healer Catherine Kuhlman. So he himself experienced being slain in the spirit at one of her healing ceremonies. And from that first confusing experience, he has become one of its most prominent promoters. Now, as I've said many times on the broadcast, slain in the spirit has no basis whatsoever biblically. It's a phenomenon that, ironically, he confesses he has seen used by evil spirits. He has seen it as a manifestation of voodoo and other magic rites, that it is found in different sects in the Orient, as well as among primitive tribes of Africa and Latin America. And so what is interesting is that he recognizes that it has no biblical base, and yet he continues to promote it along with a lot of his false and fake healings.
All right. Well, that definitely answers my question then. I will tell her that and pass it along. Thank you very much for that.
You got it. And the book Counterfeit Revival is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Bob. He's listening in Washington, D.C., Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
How are you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff? Bless you and your ministry. Thank you very much for taking my call today.
You're welcome.
Call about Ephesians 1 and predestination. Fundamental question. Does God know everything that will happen, or does God know everything that can happen and all possible permutations therefrom?
Well, God knows everything that will happen. He knows all things exhaustively. And the fact that he knows what is going to happen in the future does not mean that the future is fatalistically determined. As I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we as human beings can see this from an experiential perspective. We can look back at things that happened in the past. We can have exhaustive knowledge about what happened because we were there, we watched it firsthand. But the fact that we watched it or saw it or know about it does not, of course, mean that we caused it, that we were the causal agent of it. So the fact that God then knows not only the past exhaustively, but the future exhaustively as well, is not the same as saying that the future is fatalistically determined.
Do you understand sort of the difficulty I have and what I perceive as squaring the circle in how that seems to deny my free will then?
Well, I don't think it does. If you were fatalistically determined, as you are in philosophical naturalism's worldview, then it would deny your freedom. But this does not deny your freedom at all. You are certainly free. And the fact that God knows what you are going to do or what you are going to freely choose in the future does not mean that those choices are not free. And that's anything but a squared circle. if we were talking about fatalistic or theistic determinism, and then trying to square that, as it were, with the circle of freedom, I think that would, in fact, pose a problem, but that's not what I'm communicating.
Okay. Do you have any writings that you've discussed on this that I might be able to reference in order to be able to take a look at?
I do. I've written about this in various places. In fact, there's an entry in my book, Afterlife, which deals with this.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jeff in Marysville, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. My question is on John 1:3. It says in there that, you know, all things were created by God, and apart from him, nothing was created. And then it says that has been created. There's no period, there's no comma. And I just kind of wanted to get some clarification on that second part of that statement there, you know, where it says that has been created, because it's like John's trying to say something there.
Yeah, what John is saying is that through Christ, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So John is simply saying that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. And of course, that idea is communicated in Colossians as well, when we read from Paul's writings there that Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together, that he is the one, in fact, that creates everything, that nothing has been made apart from his making it. So this simply elevates Jesus Christ as the one who spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. He is the creator of all that is.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. And of course, as I was mentioning, in Colossians, we see the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for by him, and then the words, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. When you give, be pleased to send you one of the resources that we recommend. All of these resources you can find on the web. You can select one when you give this month to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. Anything you can do to help would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike, Omaha, Nebraska, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what a blessing to hear from you. I got a question. I got a friend of mine out in California. He's kind of backed away from early church attendance, and he listens and watched religiously this Shepherd's Chapel with Murray, and it's just like he's just forsook all fellowship, and I can't talk to him about Scripture because he winds up quoting this guy, and I'm just going, whoa. So I was just wondering if you had anything that I could read or to just find out where he's coming from.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is, obviously, it's very dangerous to separate from church fellowship. I mean, it is within the context of the church that we partake of the means of grace, most particularly through the Eucharist. And so to separate yourself from that, I think, is a very serious thing. And then to be listening to someone like Arnold Murray, that's double jeopardy, because this is a man who denies the Trinity. He believes that men were gods who existed prior to their life on earth. He teaches Anglo-Israelism, the idea that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race. There are so many other things that could be mentioned. He teaches a serpent seed doctrine, the idea that Eve had sex with the snake and bore Cain, and there you have the Kenites, as he puts it. He teaches annihilationism, and on it goes. So this is a dangerous guy to watch. dangerous in that he not only denies essential Christian doctrine, but he takes secondary issues that we can debate vigorously and shouldn't divide over and elevates them to the status of essential Christian doctrine. So again, maybe double or triple jeopardy here for your friend.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to really check your website. Anything you recommend that I could get more information?
You know, I can't remember off the top of my head if we've done an article on Arnold Murray, but I'm sure we have a fact sheet available. If you'll hang on, we can get it out to you, or else you can check the web at equip.org.
I'll check the web.
Well, thanks for your call. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
The resurrection of Jesus is constantly under attack. If Christ has not risen, our faith is futile, and a culture critical of our faith well understands that. The physical resurrection of Christ is the incontestable cornerstone of Christianity, making a persuasive, reasoned defense of that event's historicity the essential of all apologetic essentials. Resurrection by Hank Hanegraaff clearly communicates the evidence and implications of the resurrection, and it does so using a memorable method to equip Christians to defend the very fabric of our faith. To receive your copy of Resurrection, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. In addition to Resurrection, Hank will include an excerpt of his forthcoming book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now." The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org.
Once again, that's equip.org. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important fact of Christianity. In fact, if Christ was not raised from the dead, nothing else matters. We are still in our sins and have no hope of heaven. Learn to defend the resurrection with Hank's book, The Third Day, our gift to you in appreciation for your ministry support today. Examine and explode the lies of resurrection deniers and strengthen your confidence in your own resurrection. To request your copy with your gift today, visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And right back to our telephone callers. Next up is Bob listening in Hanson, Arkansas. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Hank. My question is about the serpent in the Garden of Eden when he was communicating with Eve. My question is, what do you think the serpent looked like before it got changed into a snake? You know, he said, for your punishment on thy belly shall I crawl. And so I was just kind of wondering what it looked like, you know, before it got changed into a, you know, a snake. I think it just looked similar, just with maybe two legs, or...
No. Look, you have to look at why the Bible describes Satan as a twisted serpent whom God alone can crush. The metaphor is pregnant with meaning. Let me cash that out for you, because the biblical imagery of the twisted serpent is a portrayal of Satan's fall. So once he held a privileged position in God's kingdom, but now he becomes even lower than the livestock. They have legs. He, however, crawls on his belly and eats dust. So those who know the Old Testament immediately recognize the metaphor. Micah, like Moses, uses the imagery of a serpent to depict nations seeking to thwart the purposes of God. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. So the idea here is that this is a metaphor. This is not what Satan looks like. It is what Satan is like. After all, Jesus Christ did not defeat principalities and powers of darkness by stepping on the head of a snake.
Right. Okay. Well, I just appreciate your ministry, and sometimes I listen to, I'm a truck driver, and these preachers, I don't know how the people listen to some of them, but I just appreciate you because you preach the truth. We also need to support ministries like you. We need to support you spiritually and financially, but I'd say if a lot of people send in just $25 a month, I guess that would help you out, wouldn't it? I mean, you know... That's what I figure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, what I've said many times on the broadcast is if people give on a monthly basis, it would supercharge the ministry. I don't know how else to put it. So thank you very much for your prayers and for your support. Deeply appreciated.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you, Hank. Bye-bye.
You got it. And remember that if we're going to read the Bible literally, it means that we read it as literature. And what that means, in turn, is that we are to interpret the Word of God just as we interpret other forms of communication in the most obvious and natural sense. So when Moses uses the symbolism of a snake, we would do violence to his intentions if we interpret him in a wooden, literal fashion. And here's why. A literalistic interpretation does as much violence to the biblical text as a spiritualized interpretation that empties the text of all objective meaning. If the historical Adam and Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit, if they didn't descend into a life of habitual sin resulting in death, there would be no need for redemption. If, on the other hand, Genesis was reduced to an allegory conveying merely abstract ideas about temptation, sin, and redemption, devoid of any correlation with actual events in history, the very foundation of Christianity would be destroyed. The prophet Moses describes Satan as an ancient serpent. The apostle John describes him as an ancient dragon. And again, as I mentioned earlier, they don't intend to tell us what Satan looks like. They want to teach us what Satan is like. Dragons, after all, are the stuff of mythology, not theology. So if we think of Satan as either a slithering snake or a fire-breathing dragon, we not only misunderstand the nature of fallen angels, but we might well suppose that Jesus triumphed over the work of the devil by stepping on the head of a snake rather than through his passion on the cross. So Eve was not deceived by a talking snake, as though snakes have vocal cords. Rather, Moses used the symbol of a snake to communicate the wiles of the evil one who deceived Eve through mind-to-mind communication, precisely as he seeks to deceive you and I today. The ramifications of taking Satan and giving him creative power are draconian, to say the least. If, in fact, Satan can materialize, then he could have masqueraded as a resurrected Christ, and now you lose epistemic warrant for the central event in the Christian faith, the post-resurrection appearances of Christ. So there are a lot of ramifications that you simply don't want to go there. I've written about this in a book called The Creation Answer Book, also available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Back of the phone lines, and we'll talk to Robert. He's listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Robert.
Yes. Hi, Hank. I was recently invited to go to a church down in Branson, Missouri, and this guy named Keith Moore, after about 20 minutes of a praise and worship sort of startup, he projected onto the screen a fuselage of an airplane, a jet he wanted, and he had it colored out. Now we need to start paying for this, part of my point. You know, it just infuriates me, this sort of thing. I immediately walked out. This giving to get stuff, these guys are con artists. How did they get, why is it not being stopped? Is there no way of stopping these guys?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Their power and their prestige is so great that there are otherwise normal pastors that are having these faith teachers in their pulpit. I'm absolutely shocked, for example, at some of the churches that invite T.D. Jakes to speak and the kinds of honorariums that they pay him to come and speak at their church. Well, part of it is because they're garnering a huge crowd, but yeah, it's the fact that they have such popularity and such position that if you say anything about it, it is extraordinarily costly. And I can tell you firsthand from a ministry standpoint that that is the case. I can also say that firsthand from a personal standpoint. When I wrote Christianity in Crisis and exposed the kind of shenanigans of Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts and the like, of Benny Hinn and Paul Crouch, there was a huge price to be paid, and that price continues to be paid. But the ministry is not the place to be politically correct. What you ultimately have to do is speak the truth in love, but don't fail to speak the truth. The reason that so many of these pastors have huge platforms is because they can pay big dollars to radio stations, to television stations. They have huge, huge audiences that they bring to others. And so people, instead of speaking out, they simply stifle. I remember when I wrote my book, The Astinification of American Christianity, there was a pastor in our neighborhood that started promoting Joel Osteen as one of the great men of God. But the reality is that what he is teaching is decidedly dangerous to believers. What usually is not communicated is the dark underbelly of the teachings. And the fact that people like Osteen, they mock paraplegics. Why? Because if they had enough faith, they would simply get up out of their wheelchair and walk. And that's the idea. And it is communicated in such a way that people buy, or I might say, bite into the poisoned apple without realizing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's time for, maybe I'll write it, another Elmer Gantry. There's, you know, to sort of, you know, in a metaphorical way, kind of expose these guys, not taking them on directly, but in a sort of a creative way, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I name names in Christianity in Crisis. I don't pull any punches, and I wrote a book called The Austinification of American Christianity. I only use that word as an umbrella term because Osteen's the biggest of the bunch.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a joke. It infuriates me. I'm a retired physician. It just galls me. I can't tell you. My father was a pastor, been a Christian all my life. You know, Bible-believing, reading, and, you know, in the Old Testament, nobody ever gave God something so they could get merchandise. I mean, it wasn't like that. That wasn't the spirit of it at all. You know what I mean? It wasn't a give to get thing. It was
yeah,
a give
exactly.
to God, and then whatever happened. But you know, anyways, enough said. I appreciate your ministry, and I will. I'm going to sign on and begin contributing to your efforts.
Thank you so much, Robert. Appreciate your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Ben broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Be right back here tomorrow with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.